Now let's turn our attention to the women running in general election 2020. Despite the fact that more women live in Ireland than men, less than a quarter of our elected politicians are women. So over the course of the campaign, I'm going to be looking at this issue and talking to some first-time female candidates and women already in political life. So to kick things off this morning and discuss the current state of play and more about what can be done, I am joined in studio by Kirrine DeBush, CEO of Women for Election. Kirrine, thanks so much for coming into us this morning.
Not at all. Delighted to be here, Susan.
So we know that nominations don't close, obviously, until Wednesday for general election 2020. But we're a couple of days out, 3 days out. How are things at the minute in terms of women numbers running?
Well, I suppose on the positive, because I always like to start on a positive, there is, for the first time, as far as we know, it's the first time there's a woman running in every Dáil constituency.
Okay.
I suppose for me, what's actually shocking is that that is
that's
for the first
time for that to happen. Yeah. And
there are some constituencies where there are one where there's one woman running and there are others where there's a much greater balance. But, you know, that is very much a positive. However, amongst the parties, there's a huge variation of those who are running. The numbers are the level of women who are running. And we know that the legislation is there. The parties will lose half of their funding if they don't run at least 30% of either gender, because this applies to both men and women. So there needs to be at least 30%. And in reality, that means at least 30% women. And the two larger parties seem to see that as a target rather than a minimum. That should be an absolute floor, that at the very minimum, there is 30% of women running, and the two larger parties are just tipping into that 30%. The smaller parties are doing much, much better. By and large, they're in around 40%, with the Social Democrats soaring ahead at 60%. So, you know, you have to wonder if all of those small parties, I'm looking right across the board, if all of those smaller parties can find women who are politically engaged, who are interested, who have the skills, who are running, who are willing to put their name on the ticket, why can't the larger parties? And within Women for Election, we train and we support women to equip them with the skills to run, because we know more women leads to better politics. There's all the research in the world that shows greater diversity means better decisions. So more women leads to better politics. So why aren't the larger parties picking up on that and asking more women to run?
You mentioned there the quota, and we might just go back and talk. We won't assume everyone knows about quotas.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about when quotas were introduced, how they came about, and have they shown to work?
They absolutely do work. And they would have come into play. How the quota works is that for a party to receive all of its funding, its state funding, 30% or at least 30% of their candidates need to come from one or other gender. And it is quite binary in this particular legislation. In reality, that means that at least 30% of the candidates need to be women. If the parties don't have a 30% women's slate right across the country, they lose half their funding. It would have come into play in the last general election, and the number of candidates increased enormously and the number of women increased. Still not enough. Still not enough women elected, and we would have seen the recent by-elections would have seen actually that the number of women in the Dáil dropped as a result. But it did increase. And I suppose the thing to remember with the quotas is it just ensures women get onto the ticket. It is still ultimately up to the voters as to who decides as to who their TDs are.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Women for Election, your organisation, it's a not-for-profit organisation, and it encourages, I suppose, and supports women in Ireland who have an interest in politics and want to run. So you're testing the temperature all the time from different women in terms of what are the barriers, what are the challenges. I actually put a poll up on my Instagram over the course of the weekend. I was asking people, would they ever run for politics? And if the answer to that was no, why not? Now, out of the people who did the poll, 87% said that no, they just wouldn't consider a career in politics. And then I got lots and lots of feedback about all of the different reasons. Some I anticipated, and others I was quite surprised about. But from your testing of the temperature, tell us, what are the barriers that are there? Because I guess if we don't know what they are, we can't then actually try and fix them to move up when we come to the quotas.
Sure. I suppose there will be two key ones. Those of us who are involved in this whole area, we often talk about the five C's, and they would have been identified in Ivana Bacik's report a while back. But there are two key barriers there. One is a real practical one, and that's childcare. And childcare in reality should be as much of a barrier to men entering politics as to women, but it isn't. And again, we will often hear women talking about, you know, one of the candidates, and now a general election candidate, recently elected to the council, spoke about needing three babysitters to get through one council meeting. Politics is not a family-friendly life as it is currently made up. If you're out canvassing, it means you're out every evening. You're probably out early in the morning. If you're not out early in the morning canvassing, you're out dropping leaflets. If you're not at a...
if you're constituency clinics, if you're a TD, if you're late nights in the dolls, your funerals, your meetings, you're all the kind of bits that that go along with it.
And you are effectively on call to your constituents, and probably rightly should be on call to your constituents pretty much all of the time. So childcare is a real common practical barrier that women talk about. The other barrier is actually not talked about as often, but it's certainly an issue, and that's confidence. And one of the things we would come across is that women who are incredibly well equipped, really, really well equipped for life in politics, just find they don't have the confidence to put themselves forward. And that is where Women for Election come in, because we provide that training and that support there to equip women. Quite often they have those skills already, but it's more to recognise that they have those skills or that final touch there. So that's where we come in to help with that confidence barrier.
I was surprised by that. You know, there was over 100 responses to this poll that I ran on Instagram, and lots of people talked about confidence. I just wouldn't have the confidence to do it. Some said politics requires a certain level of toughness that I just wouldn't have. Obviously, a boys' club has been mentioned time and time again. And judgment. I was surprised to see that we still live in an era whereby women feel that they will be judged more for a variety of different things than men will be. So lots of women saying, I would feel my actions, my words, the way I look would be scrutinised in a more intense way than a male politician. That's a bit surprising that we're still there in 2020.
Yeah, and we've heard from women. There's one woman I'm thinking of now. She's currently a TD. I'm talking about Lisa Chambers, who would have spoken publicly at one of our events there, where she was saying that she was asked, why didn't she smile more often when she was on television? And she was wondering, should she smile when she was talking about the homeless figures or when it was about Brexit? These were not issues that were worthy of smiling about. But she also said that men would not, and she was spot on, men would not have been asked, why don't you smile more often? Similarly, we've had women who would have spoken about that they were asked about how are they going to manage the driving, that they didn't have a pretty enough face for politics. Those types of things are still there, but I think it's lessening. I think there's much greater scrutiny, and I'm not trying to downplay it. There is much greater scrutiny of women in all walks of public life.
Yeah, and public life is scary for many people, and that comes down to social media. So people feel like, you know, that they would be out there and people would know what they thought about different things, and that they'd be open to scrutiny and abuse, basically online harassment. Just, and I think especially women with children, then they feel that not only do they have, you know, they might feel they're able for that, but they certainly don't want to bring their children into an arena whereby people could potentially abuse them. To run through those five C's, childcare you mentioned, cash is another one. It shows that women often don't have the financial ability to run. Culture, we've talked about. Confidence, we've spoken about. And candidate selection, which you've talked about as well. Women for Election would say, though, if a woman runs, they are as likely to be elected as a man is.
They are. And I mean, that has been shown out both in academic research and in the election results, both in terms of the last local elections and in the last general election. So if you take the local elections, basically the numbers of councillors elected by party generally reflected the numbers of women that they were running. So again, the smaller parties ran more women. So for example, the Green Party had around 40% women, around 40% of their councillors are women. Similarly, the Labour Party. The larger parties, again, didn't run proportionately as many women, and proportionately don't have as many women elected. And that's something that we will generally see. So the barrier to women isn't actually getting elected. The barrier is getting on the ticket.
So as it stands now, and we mentioned obviously closing nominations not until Wednesday, we have 300 men running in the general election and 148 women. That was the latest figure I saw. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So and a 33%?
That's about right. And again, that is a significant increase, but we would like to see it much, much higher.
And of course, the commitment is that next time around, the gender quota will be 40%. So if the main political parties are barely scraping the 30%, you would wonder what would have to be done between now and the next election to actually get us to 40%.
Well, again, I would say of the main political parties, the smaller parties won't have this issue.
Yeah.
We're looking
but
to
if we
the
talk
two
about
larger
Fine Gael,
parties
Fianna Fáil.
Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. And you would wonder how they will reach to 40% if they are just making the 30%. Now, I would hope that there are still women going to be added to the ticket, that there are still women who anticipate being candidates and anticipate seeing their name on the ballot paper and just haven't yet been nominated or announced by the two larger parties. And I would also say that there's a big geographical imbalance. There are some constituencies that are very balanced. There's one or two where there's pretty much a 50-50 balance. There are some where there are more women running, and there are a lot where there are much fewer women running. Last time round in the local elections, we would have seen a big divide, a big urban-rural divide.
Okay.
That's not to the same extent this time. So, for example, Cork South West is about 50-50. And of course, Cork South West is the area where there was a candidate in the local elections, Councillor Holly McKeever-Cairns, who was elected by one vote. So we saw in the local elections the importance of voting as well. Meath East has a high number of women. And then you look to Donegal, Cork East, and there are much, much fewer women as well. So we really have to look at geography. But I think the bigger issue is the parties.
Yeah, well, let's just have a brief word because we're almost out of time. Practically then, Kieran, what could the parties do if we talk about Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil? Very practically, what could they do to try and entice more women in?
Ask a woman to run. One of the things that we do, and it is as simple as that, in our training sessions, we would hear from trainers with those with expertise in campaigning, as well as elected politicians. And invariably, those politicians told us they were asked to run, and they were asked more than once. So the political parties need to ask a woman to run.
OK, well, as I said, over the course of the campaign, I'm going to be looking at this issue in detail, talking to some first time female candidates and indeed women already involved in political life. And I will talk back to you, Kieran Debush, CEO of Women for Election. Thanks so much for coming in to talk to us this morning. We'll talk to you over the course of the campaign.